Welcome to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. Every Nation is a Bible-believing, multi-ethnic, non-denominational church hoping to transform the world one life at a time. We hope you enjoy this podcast.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to our Every Nation New Jersey online service. My name's Shino. I'm one of the board members here and former pastors. I pastor now over in our sister church in New York City, and what an honor and a privilege it is to be back home. Pastor Adam is away enjoying some well-deserved R&R, and looking forward to just being here and ministering to you out there on Facebook, and looking forward to just a good word. If you did or didn't know, today is Pentecost Sunday. And so what is that? What is Pentecost Sunday? Pentecost means 50. And what that also means, it was a Jewish holiday that was celebrated right after Jesus was resurrected from the dead. It's 50 days after his resurrection, also known what is also a part of foreshadowing the Passover and the Exodus for Good Friday and also Easter. And so the Shavuot, which is also called the Jewish holiday for Pentecost, was the foreshadowing of Pentecost. And so a little bit about this, you go back a little bit and you think about what was going on during this time leading up to Pentecost. You know, Jesus, our great leader, was prepared and postured to go to the cross to die for the sins of the world. And, you know, he finished strong. He didn't allow any circumstances or situations to derail him from moving forward in Christ, moving forward onto the cross. And so the beauty of it was that Jesus' head was so focused and mind was so focused that he was not going to turn to the left or to the right or allow any certain type of pain to keep him from hanging on that cross for you and I and the world. And so here the disciples discouraged, because they know their leader's getting ready to go to the cross. He told them that multiple times, but they didn't really get it. And then on that day that Jesus was arrested there in Gethsemane in the garden, here it was, the disciples bailed on him. And it says this, in all human measurements at the time of his death, Jesus' ministry was not only painstakingly slow, but is obviously a failure. He was left with just one disciple at the foot of the cross, the only person he had remaining to give to his mother. All the crowds had dispersed. He had no position, no organization, no written book, no enduring legacy other than the 12 disciples. And one of them betrayed him and 10 of them abandoned him. And only one remained to watch him die. But this was God's will. And so could you imagine just putting yourself in the mindset of the disciples, especially Peter? Here was Peter, the bold one. You know, I'll never allow you to go to the cross. And of course, he gets rebuked. Get behind me, Satan. But Jesus told him, you know, after this rooster crows three times, you're going to deny me. And sure enough, it did three times. And he locks eyes with Jesus. And he's denied Jesus three times up until that point. And could you imagine the pain that caused, the sorrow? And then not only that, but watching their great leader die this gruesome death. And so today's message is called The Place of Pain, because one thing I've learned is this: God doesn't waste pain. He doesn't waste it. And so as we get ready to start, let's pray. And I want to dive deep into this word today. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray you open our hearts, open our minds, and open our ears to receive your word. In Jesus' name, amen. If you have a Bible, you can go to Acts chapter 2. And we're going to read 36 to 47. It says, "Therefore, let all of Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, 'Brothers, what shall we do?' Peter replied, 'Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you'll receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promises for you, your children, and all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call.' With many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them, 'Save yourself from this corrupt generation.' Verse 41, those who accepted this message were baptized, about 3,000. were added to their number that day. But it didn't stop there with just some people giving their lives to the Lord and getting water baptized. Something else took place. Verse 42, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe and many wonders, and signs were performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they had continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in the homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying favor of all people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. Now let's back up a little bit. This is Peter standing up preaching on the day of Pentecost. What happened? A couple chapters later, Peter was running around and timid and afraid, and had a little servant girl back him off his faith. And now all of a sudden he's preaching bold here in front of these people. The same people, a matter of fact, that were a part of crucifying Jesus. The same people, a matter of fact, that wanted to kill them because they were followers of Jesus. How did they get there? If we go back to Acts chapter 1, verse 8, remember Jesus with the disciples. After he was raised from the dead, he told them that they needed to prepare themselves to go back to Jerusalem and to wait for the promised Holy Spirit, because what the Holy Spirit is going to do is going to give them power to be a witness. Power to be a witness. Now, could you imagine being the disciples? Here it is, your leader. All of a sudden, raised from the dead, man, there's excitement, there's faith back on the team. And man, we're getting ready to go do something great for the Lord. Matter of fact, they even still think he's going to take over the kingdom there, take over Rome, if you will. And so they don't get it. They're still not really getting it. Jesus is saying, look, man, I have to go because there's someone I want to send to you, the Holy Spirit. And he will give you power to be a witness. And so here it was, Jesus ascended off into heaven, sitting at the right hand of the Father in power, just like he told them he was going to do. But could you imagine getting into the minds of the disciples? At this point, Jesus says, go back to Jerusalem and wait. Why is this significant? It's because that was the place of pain. That was the place that Peter denied Jesus. That was the place that they abandoned Jesus. That was the place where they ran away and fled. That was the place that Jesus was crucified. That was the place where all of a sudden now they have to go back and face the same people that wanted to kill Jesus and did. Now they want to kill them. Go back to Jerusalem, the place of pain. And my first point is this. I want to say this. In order to confront the past, you must, in order to move into your future, you must confront your past. I'll say that again. In order to move into your future, you must confront your past. And here it is. These men are going to have to go back to that place of pain in order to get what God is calling them to get and to go do. The Bible says this in 2 Corinthians 5:17. This means that anyone who belongs to Christ has become a new person, and the old life is gone and the new life has begun. Have you ever had to go back somewhere where people knew how you used to be and what you used to do? Have you ever had to go back somewhere, a place, a bad remembrance? God sending you back maybe into a job environment, sending you back into a family environment, sending you back into a community environment that, man, some bad stuff took place BC days before you was a Christian. And now the Lord is saying, go back in there. I have work for you to do. The thing that we have to remember is this. In order to confront our past, we also got to let it go. We got to be able to say, you know what, that man or that woman is dead, born again, a new creation in Christ. The old is gone, the new has come. I don't live that way no more. I don't do those things anymore. And now I have the ability to go back into an environment because I know who I am in Christ. And I know what God has called me to do. The Bible says this in Philippians 3, 13 through 14. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind. And that's what I need you to hear today, is whatever lies behind stays behind. We don't need to go back into our past. See, some of us have skeletons in our closet. Some of us even have cemeteries. But whatever it is, it's under the blood of Jesus. It's our past. and we need to strain forward to what lies ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ. We have to keep moving forward with Christ, even in the midst of going back into that painful situation. And so here it is, the disciples go back into Jerusalem, and it's about 120. And it says that they were in the upper room singing psalms and hymns and worshiping the Lord. And as they begin to worship God, and they were on one heart, one mind, one soul, one accord, they were together. They said the power of God fell. The Holy Spirit came in like a mighty rushing wind, and it filled the place, and it began to speak in tongues. Tongues. A lot of times we bring that up. People get timid and get afraid, but all tongues is a weapon. Weapon to keep you out of your past and help you to move forward into your future. Tongues. Power. The power of God comes upon these men and women. And all of a sudden now they step out into this Jerusalem, into this culture of people on Pentecost. Every tribe, every tongue, everybody there from all walks of life are there to come to worship God. And now all of a sudden Peter stands up and he preaches what you just heard me say. He began to preach the word of God. He began to speak and share and tell them, just like in Joel 2:28. He says, man, on the last day, I'll pour out my spirit on all flesh, and your sons and daughters will prophesy, and your young men will dream dreams. I need you to understand that that prophecy was fulfilled right here on the day of Pentecost, hundreds of years ago, from the prophet Joel prophesying, speaking boldly that God was going to pour out his spirit. And he did it on the day of Pentecost, a day that we celebrate today. The power of God being poured out in the New Testament church being birthed. My second point is this: make new friends. They didn't just stop with people getting water baptized. They didn't just stop with people getting born again. No, they came together. They came together. It says here in Acts chapter 2:42, it says they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship, to the breaking of bread. Everyone was filled with awe. Many wonders and signs were performed by the apostles, and all the believers were together and having everything in common. You know, the significance of this moment, when those men and women right there on the spot that said, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm ready to make him Lord and Savior of my life. I'm ready to be baptized, which means, you know what? I'm making a public declaration. I'm identifying with Jesus and who he is and what he did by going into that grave or dying on the cross, going into that grave and being raised on the third day. I'm aligning my life with him. I'm a follower now of Jesus Christ. You know what that was? That was a death sentence. That was a death sentence. And what do I mean by that? Once again, we're talking about pain. See, in order to follow the Lord, it's going to cost us something. And it cost these men and women something. See, in back then, people were giving inheritances, if you will. Things were passed down. And so now all of a sudden, if you're going to break rank, if you're going to break away from the family and become and be a part of somebody else's family, church family, I'm now a part of these people. I'm over here with them now. All of a sudden, your inheritance is gone. What was owed to you is not owed to you no more. So they're walking away from money. They're walking away from culture. They're walking away from a lot of things in order to follow the Lord. But you know what? Just like my second point said, they made new friends. They made friends with people that didn't look like them, that didn't talk like them, that were economically different from them. They made new friends. The Bible says this in Psalm 68:6, God makes a home for the lonely. He leads out the prisoners into prosperity. Only the rebellious live in parched lands. So God sets the lonely in family. Maybe you today, you're out there, man. You're like, I know I'm supposed to give my life to the Lord, but I also know that I'm going to have to give up some things in order to follow him. Maybe you have to give up some relationships that are not healthy, that are toxic. Might have to give up some things in order to follow the Lord, to maybe become a member of the church. I'm going to have to give up some things. That's okay, because God's going to give you new friends. He's going to set you in family. Maybe you feel lonely out there right now. Maybe you feel like, man, Nobody gets me now that I'm following Jesus, now that I've made this public declaration to call him Lord. You know what? God has a family for you right here at Every Nation New Jersey for you to do something great, to discover your purpose, to discover your destiny, what God's called you to be and do. Man, jump in to that membership class. Jump in to that connect group. Jump into it. Jump in and start serving somewhere and become part of the family and get under the vision of the house and allow God to use you to go do something great. To go do something great. Once again, you're going to have to confront your past in order to move into your future. And it may be a little painful. It may be a little painful. But God was with them. God was with them. Said that they sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Man, they gathered all the time. You know, the Bible says this, man, not to neglect the assembling of the saints. What does that mean? Man, church is important. You know, being in the house of God is important. These people did it daily. They were always gathering, getting in the word. They were always gathering, breaking bread, fellowshipping, doing life together. That's a terminology we throw around a lot, doing life together. Man, it's not surface. You know, I want to take my mask off and let people know who I really am and not worry about, man, if I told somebody this or I told somebody that they would they kick me out of the church. No, that's not the God that we serve. God's a God of love. God's a God of healing and deliverance. God is a God of family. He wants to put you in a family that's going to lift you and edify you and build you up. And you know what? I know that that's being done right here at Every Nation New Jersey. Make new friends. It's okay to cross cultural barriers. Man, get out of your comfort zone. Just like these men and women did here on the day of Pentecost. They got out of their comfort zone, man, and began to mix it up. God loves to mix things up, man. He'll put people in your life that don't look like you to show you the lies of the world, the schemes of the enemy. Maybe you grew up like I did, hearing things about other ethnicities. Oh, you can't trust them or you need to stay away from them. No, man. If they are brothers and sisters in Christ, man, let God is doing something. He's transforming them on the inside supernaturally, making them more like Christ. And so, man, the more we become more like him, the closer we need to be together. The closer we need to be together. Matthew 19:29, and everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or fields for my sake will receive 100 times as much and will enter, inherit eternal life. Think about that. Man, just you give your life to the Lord and it may feel like, man, you're walking away from a lot of stuff. As you're walking away from family and friends and, man, what's comfortable and you know, what's norm and all this stuff. But, man, I'm telling you, there's nothing greater than serving Jesus and being a part of his body, his church family. Nothing better. Something supernaturally takes place in you and I when we get out of that comfort zone and we begin to walk with the Lord and God's people. God's people. So important. I remember times in my life where God would stretch me. I had to get out when I played football in the NFL, and they had another league called the NFL Europe, and I had to go to Germany and play in Berlin. And how do you know, it's a little different over there. But I remember getting over there and just meeting the German people and getting to know their culture and understanding, man, that they too love the Lord. They too have a desire to follow Jesus. They too like to break bread and the fellowship and the hangout, man. And it was so life-giving, learning from their culture, learning their ways of life. And not only that, man, we had something in common. We had Jesus in common, and that brought us together. We didn't look at the color of skin. We didn't look at the language barrier, but we were able to communicate through the word and the breaking of bread and fellowship and doing those things like that. Also, just for my man, Pastor Adam, I had to go to Canada, man, playing there in Hamilton. And, you know, Canadian people are the nicest people, man. You can't really offend a Canadian, man. And so I'm up there and I'm loving everybody. They love me. I love them. And we're just having a great time. And, you know, I got up there and God was able to connect me with some people there in that nation and that area of Quebec. Hamilton, Ontario. And, you know, it was amazing, you know, getting to know people, once again from another background, another culture. And I give a shout out today to Tim Hortons, man, some of the best donuts and coffee in the world. So yes, getting out and making new friends, And lastly, I'll say this, be inclusive and not exclusive. Be inclusive and not exclusive. See, when we taste something like this, when we become a part of something like this, that some of our tendencies, man, is just to kind of get cliquish and be like, man, this is just for us, our church, these are my friends. But you know what? There's nothing greater than bringing your friends that don't know the Lord into the house of God and letting them taste and see that the Lord is good. There's something about that. So what we want to do is just like they did. It said, and the Lord added to their number daily. I'll say that again. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. How many of you know, man, there's something about bringing people together and having a meal and talking about life. Hey, how's your marriage? How's your children? How are you doing in work? And it's genuine and sincere. And then you begin to see, hey, you know, I went through that a couple years ago. This is how I got through it with the Lord. And vice versa. Maybe there's something they can give to you. And as you are breaking bread, as you are spending time and praying for one another, as you're getting to know each other on a deeper level, now people from the outside that don't know the Lord want to be a part of what you have. They want to be added. Man, I want what y'all have. Jesus said, they'll know that you are my disciples. How? For the love that you have for one another. And so the world is looking for genuine and authentic Christians. They're looking for people, men and women, who genuinely care about one another. That's what they're looking for. Where's the real? No more of this getting canceled. No more of this, you know what, I'm going to defriend you on Facebook or, you know, delete your Snapchat or your Instagram, whatever. You know, all these things, man, just to be petty and to isolate people. No, man, be a family. Bring people into it. Be inclusive and not exclusive. The Bible says in 2 Corinthians 5:20, the only way we can do this is we have to become ambassadors. We got to go out and implore people. This was what Peter was doing, man. He was up there preaching the word of God in such a way. He was preaching the word of God in such a way that, man, it called people to say, man, what do I need to do? I'm cut at the heart. It's us being ambassadors for Christ. It says this in 2 Corinthians 5:20. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors. We're speaking on behalf of the Almighty God as though Him pleading through us, making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Man, anytime I get an opportunity just to hear somebody's story and to listen to what's going on, man, I want to be quiet and just listen. This is the salt method. Anybody know, remember the salt method? It's just sometimes we can get so weird. You know, sometimes people say, I mean, Christians are weird. But you know what? What we can do is this, is we can start a conversation. Just ask somebody, hey, man, how are you doing? How's your family doing? How's your children doing? How's school going? Whatever. It can be just a small icebreaker. And it's genuine and sincere. Start a conversation. Then I ask questions. Man, you know, all these things of life, just ask questions. Get the how old are you, man? Where'd you go to college? All these things that'll just get the conversation going. And then as they get to talking, just be quiet and listen. You know, it's hard for people to listen. A lot of people just want to get right to it, man. Tell people about the Lord Jesus. Turn or burn. If you don't repent, you're going to hell. Take this little Bible right here. This Pastor Adams. Take this Bible and thump it over somebody's head. That don't work. Nobody's going to hear that. But if I listen to their problems and I'm sincere about it, if I listen, that gives me the right at the end of their me listening to them. Now they're going to ask me, tell me a little bit about you. And now I can tell them about what God has done in my life. Salt. Are you salty? Are you able to communicate in a way where people really want to know why you act the way you act? Why you are always getting in your car on a Sunday morning? I'll say this in closing. People are watching us. They want to know if we're genuine and authentic. They watch us leave our homes They see when maybe we lose our jobs. They see when we get sick or a family member or a child, or they see when we go through hardships in life. Maybe some of you gone through separations and divorces, and are you still going to serve the Lord in the midst of pain? Are you going to follow God in the midst of pain? These men and women did. They obeyed their God. They obeyed their Lord. And because they did that, they were able to move into their future. They were able to move into their future. But not only were they able to move into their future, they did it together. They didn't do it alone. Mark 16:15, he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. The gospel is for everybody. Ministry of reconciliation is for everybody. Reconcile people from the world into God. Turn from sin, turn to God. Maybe you out there right now, you're saying, Pastor, I want that. I need to be a part of something bigger than me. I need to be a part of a group of people who have a vision of not inward, but outward. I need to I need that power that you're talking about, this power of the Holy Spirit. I need that. I need Him to come dwell inside of me so that I can live the Christian life and go out and witness and be bold, just like Peter was on the day of Pentecost. Maybe you are been in a painful situation and God's saying, go back. Go back. Go back and minister. Go back and preach. Go back and share the love of Jesus. Go back to that place of hurt and pain. Go back. Because going back, man, it can be a blessing. I went through a difficult situation several years ago. The pastor. I remember moving to Jersey and just rebuilding my life. And I remember the first time I had to go back. Go back to the place of pain. Go back. And it was a Wednesday. I remember going back. It was a Wednesday night. They brought me back in to minister the word. And I remember walking back and just kind of feeling shame and a little bit of, you know, condemnation. It's all this lies of the enemy. People don't want to hear from you. You know, you're a has-been. You know, your life is in shambles. And now you're coming back and, you know, I said, you know what, I'm going back to this place of pain. And I remember going back there, standing on that stage in that church, and I preached everything I had, just let it fly. And you know what? At the end of that message, I gave people an opportunity to come serve the Lord. And you know what? They did. And I was so excited because I went back to a place of pain, and God used me to move into my future, which kind of relaunched me again to get back out there and minister the love of Jesus, to evangelize, to see people come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ, just like days of old. So maybe you're out there today and you're like, Pastor, pray for me. I got to go back. I got to go back and do some stuff that I'm a little afraid to do, confront some things that I know I don't want to confront, but I know I have to, that pain, that hurt. Not in some bravado, arrogant way, but in a way where it's like, you know what, devil, you're not going to steal my joy anymore. I'm going to be used by God to do some great things that He's called me to do. I'm not going to let the past define my future. Father, in Jesus' name, I just thank you for those that are on the other side of this camera. Lord, I pray in the name of Jesus, Lord, that you would bring the courage and the boldness to go back to that place of pain. That place of hurt, that place of shame, that place where the enemy took his best shot and tried to knock them out, to keep them from being that man or woman of God or child or college student that you created them to be. God, I pray that you'd move in power, move in might, move in authority, God, in them. And just like Peter, Lord, when he went back to that place of pain, many came to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. The church was birthed. The New Testament church was birthed on this day because he fought through that shame and that false guilt and condemnation and stood up on the day of Pentecost, being filled with the Holy Spirit and power, preaching with authority. Many came to Jesus. 3,000 people were added to the church that day. God, we don't know what's on the other side of this pain, but what we do know that there's a God that's greater than that pain that can do great things through us. So, Lord, I pray, Lord, in Jesus' name, bring the healing, bring the deliverance. And, Lord, if there's people out there that don't know you, I pray, God, that today they would make that declaration. If you say, I want to give my life to Jesus, just repeat after me. Just say, Father, in the name of Jesus, I confess my shortcomings, haven't lived my best life. I repent for the times that I've hurt you, the times that I've said no to you. Lord, I know that I'm not right, but I choose to get right. And you're the only one who can make me right. And so today I turn from sin. I turn away. I turn away from those things that your Bible calls sin. I turn away today and I put my hope and trust in you. And this today I confess with my mouth that Jesus, you are Lord, that you are the Christ, that you are the Son of God. And I believe with my heart that God raised you from the dead. And I'm asking you today to come live inside of me by your Holy Spirit and make me new. Make me new. Just like I said earlier, the old is gone and the new has come. Let the old go and let the new lifestyle begin in Christ. Lord, bless us today. Be with your people today. In Jesus' name, amen. If you prayed that prayer for the first time, please reach out to Pastor Dottie. Reach out to Pastor Adam, someone here on this team, through Facebook, and they'll be able to connect with you and tell you next steps. And more than that, I would love to see you come here on a Sunday morning. Many of you have been watching online for a while, but I would ask that you'd make your way to the house of God. There's something that happens when you gather in the presence of the Lord. So if you can make it, and come, but don't come alone. Bring somebody with you. Bless you and have a great, great day. Bless you.
Hey, was that a fantastic talk? And so while the talk's finished, we're not quite done this morning. I want to remind you that you can be faithful in your tithing and your giving. There's three ways that you can partner with us to get the gospel out around the world. And those three ways you can do that is you can go to our website, encnj.org, and just hit the giving icon. Or you can give via text. My family and I give this way. If you just text the letters ENCNJ to the number 77977, it's a very convenient way to give. Or you can mail in your check or money order right here to our church offices at 101 Gibraltar Drive, right here in Morris Plains, New Jersey. And may God richly bless you as you are faithful in your tithing and your giving. Hey, Every Nation, New Jersey, Jesus loves you, and I think you're pretty amazing too. Have an amazing week.
Thanks for listening to the Every Nation New Jersey podcast. For more information on our church, or if you'd like to give a financial gift, just go to our website, encnj.org.